T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
I don't know why you guys are fawning all over Bill Belichick. I consider him one of the bottom 25% of the coaches.
41-57 before Brady got here. He started 5-13 here.
We owe Wiggy apologies.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
We're going to keep grinding. Obviously, we've been doing that all year. Just a poor start overall. We didn't come out, you know, the right way. Keeping everybody accountable and say, you got to play with more energy. And I think that's what we did in the second half.
Schroeder had himself a little bit of an afternoon here late. Dominant in the second half.
Andy Gresh.
You know, I can certainly understand why other organizations would look at them and evaluate them for potentially jobs of more responsibility.
Bill's been, you know, he's been great with that stuff. He's been an open book for me.
Rich Keefe.
Actually, before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. Can't hear shit. Never mind.
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
Clay Chase Bull.
You sure about that?
On WEEI.
Super wild card weekend was not so super.
No.
Neither are the Boston Celtics, by the way.
They won, though, Gresh.
I know they did.
They're back on track.
I know they did.
The winning streak over there.
I know these Celtics are a game over 500. Woo! After beating the New Orleans Pelicans. I still can't get over that they're the Pelicans.
I love the Pelicans. My high school mascot was the Pelicans.
Oh, really?
I'm very pro-Pelicans.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not a great outfit down there, though. Do you remember the first ever New Orleans Pelicans mascot? Was so scary they had to change it.
Oh, his name is Zion Williamson?
No, he's not the mascot, Gresh. He's just an injured big man.
Oh, he's just he was the next big thing.
He is still a big thing.
He is a big thing.
Who would have ever thought that a 6'6", 330-pound guy wouldn't be able to stay on the court all the time? Well, whatever, that's neither here nor there. No, they introduced a mascot when they first went to New Orleans,
yeah.
And it was the stuff of nightmares. And it was so scary that they had to change it. It was just the way the design was terrifying. But Celtics play a little matinee game, and they get the win. They played terribly early on. They were 5 of 23 from 3 in the first half, but they came back and beat what is a really bad team.
It's
like Brandon Ingram and just waiting for Zion. Zion wants to get traded. His dad already wants him out of there. They're a mess. But it's another win, but it's another situation where you're watching the team play, and you're like, this can't be it. Like, this won't be it. This won't be... There's not going to be a great turnaround where you're like, oh, my God, look, they played themselves into being a contender. It just seems like the pieces don't fit at all, and I don't know where they're going. I don't know where they're headed other than just sort of middling, right? Like, Tatum and Brown.
Straight to hell.
That's where they're headed. They're going to
Hades. They're going to hell.
No, but, like, Tatum and Brown are too good to bottom out. Like, they're you're not going to tank.
You aren't
the Pistons or the Magic.
You'll never be a lottery team.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Really?
You might be a lottery team. There's a chance you could be a lottery team, but you're probably not. You're probably more of that play-in thing. You're a seed 7, 8, 9, 10, don't you think? I've been so frustrated with them, and now I think a lot of attention is going to shift to them now that the Patriots are done, and we'll still do plenty of Patriots today and all week long, but now there's so much more attention put on these guys. Like, you can kind of slip by during Patriots season because that's all everybody cares about, but now the attention is going to turn to the Bruins and the Celtics, and the Bruins are playing really well and the Celtics aren't, and it's just hard to talk yourself into them. Like, why invest in the Celtics? Why pay attention to them? Why spend all the time on the Celtics.
Because the next big superstar in this city arguably is on that roster, whether it's Tatum or Brown. One of the two Jays is arguably next in this city in terms of being the next big superstar. And I think that's why people want to embrace this team and why there will be those who, because you know, Keith, do you know the difference between first and 10th in the Eastern Conference right now is only 5.5 games? And yeah, the difference between first and
there's
sixth
also nine
in the
teams
East
in between you
is only 2.5 games. And to the point.
But do you also know the difference between them making the play-in game and not?
Oh,
half a game.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah.
That is the glass half full people who are going to be selling it that, but you know, Philadelphia just got to get hot and they could be the number one seed.
It's less like, and less, by the way.
Yeah.
Because normally in the recent years, if you tweeted something negative about the Celtics, you would get a flood of, you don't know what you're talking about, and oh yeah, this idiot, blah, 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 blah. Like,
right.
And again, defending their team, which I respect. Fine. Yeah. Go for it. You want to defend your team blindly? Go for it. Less of it now. I think if because I think even the diehard Celtics fan is like, oh, what are we doing here? What is this? Because you can't just keep saying Tatum and Brown, Tatum and Brown, Tatum and Brown. All right, they're going in the wrong direction.
That's the problem.
They were better when they were younger and they had a couple other pieces on the team. Now, in a defense to Tatum and Brown, the supporting cast is worse than it's ever been.
Transient.
Yeah, it's less talent. Like, it's just less talent there.
It's been a bunch of different guys in and out as you're trying to mix and match. And you look at a guy like Schroeder, who everybody likes, but you realize that he's not a completely square peg in a round hole. He's like half round, half square. You can kind of get him in there, but he really doesn't fit, I think, with where this team would like to get to or where they want to go. But every time Schroeder knocks down shots, it makes you realize that going all the way back to even when Dan Ainge was here, that having the scoring point guard might be the guy to unlock Tatum and Brown, but then that requires Tatum and Brown to mix and play well with a scoring point guard. And therein lies the rub.
Yeah, no, that has been an issue. And then especially when that scoring point guard can't shoot, because then when Tatum and Brown do get a lot of attention and now you kick it out to the point guard, and this was sort of one of the knocks on Rondo for such a long time was just, all right, he's getting open looks because Pierce and Allen are covered, but he's not really hitting those open looks. And then he had developed into a decent long two shooter. Like, he started to develop the Kevin Garnett range a little bit. But still, in today's NBA, it's just such an issue. Like, they just launch threes like crazy. Like, if you're going to be shooting 45, 50 threes a game, which is essentially what they're doing, make more of them. You got to make more of them. Or if it's not your game,
or take less.
Yeah, take less.
Or take less. How about that?
They probably need to take less just because of the personnel that they have.
And I think that a lot of people just succumb to the, well, that's the league. Well, no, you can adapt. If you're not a great shooting team, then maybe just get a little better at it. But, of course, after the Celtics got the win yesterday afternoon, 104-92 over New Orleans, Mr. Electricity Jason Tatum talked about, hey, you know, I think we're okay here. We're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we've been playing pretty good as of late. You know, hopefully very soon we can get everybody back and just continue to build up this. Like you said, we got 37 games left. So that's enough time to, you know, make up some ground.
Right, 37 games left, right. But
how do you know the exact number of games?
The Celtics need 24 wins just to get to the over on the 46.5. So I'm not great at math, so I have to go 24-13 the rest of the way, and right now they're 23-22.
I bet they don't.
I'm with you.
I bet they don't, and it's just because it's weird watching the Celtics team, too, because you can't even necessarily predict wins and losses looking at the schedule, because you might be like, oh, that's a tough stretch or that's an easy stretch, because they've played down to bad teams. They've played well and beaten some good teams. You know, they might catch a break here and there, right? You get the Bulls without Zach LaVine. Earlier in the year, there were some other matchups where they played teams that were missing their best players. Fine, whatever. Celtics have had injuries. Celtics have had COVID cases. Nobody's going to feel bad for you. But there's no like guaranteed win either.
No,
that's the other thing. And now you're playing some of these games. You know, Indiana mailed it in. You got to go overtime with them. You got to go overtime with Orlando. Split with the Knicks. It's like you just don't know which Celtics team's going to show up.
It's funny you mentioned the Knicks because here they come. They're 500 now.
They're right behind
you. They're right on the heels of the Celtics and the Raptors. Yes, the Raptors are even with the Celtics in the standings. In fact, right now, if the play-in games were to be played today, the Toronto Raptors would be headed to the Wizards, and the Celtics would be going to Charlotte. Not even hosting like
last year. No, they don't even
get
to host it. Yep.
Going to Charlotte. That's where it's at for this Celtics team. We will get to what a former college basketball coach also tweeted out last night about Jason Tatum. It is it's a little bit of old man hot fire. However,
all right, we'll take it.
He makes a point. We'll he does. We will get to that. And just like last night on Monday Night Football, the final Monday Night Football game of the 2022 season, it was not a super wild card game between the Rams and the Cardinals.
Line.
You don't need him. The running backs are controlling this game. Still get a first down at the one. Cup turning around. Off the turf and into the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Vance Joseph talked about the fact that when you play leverage coverage on him and it's not double, he's just going to run away from your leverage. And Byron Murphy, you see him sitting at the goal line, hard inside leverage. Cooper Kupp's just going to turn that out. He's going to make a shoestring grab just like this, and it's going to be six.
Yeah, they spread the Cardinals out, and the Cardinals had no answer. Smoked Kyler them. Murray didn't help. It was just a smoke show from the beginning.
And I know that this was, what, the 4-5 matchup?
Yes, sir.
But still, I think this weekend proved you don't need seven playoff teams. There was two good games, and one of them was really just marred by bad officiating. If you want to call Bengals-Raiders good, it was just like ugly.
Right.
It was a seven-point game. It wasn't necessarily a good game.
If there weren't five games after it, that game and the officiating would have been the lead story this weekend.
But Bills blow doors, Bucks blow doors, Chiefs blow doors, Rams not competitive last night, or I should say Cardinals weren't. Rams dominated the game. It's just, you need the extra week of the regular season? Fine, you're going to get that. Do you really need the extra playoff team? Because, my God, I thought, especially in the AFC, I thought we were going to get really good games. Mm. I thought there was a chance for good games. There wasn't. The wild card weekend stunk. And now, hopefully, the divisional round, it appears as though on paper there's really good matchups. And I hope we get some close games. Because especially when your team is out of it, and the Patriots were out of it about the first quarter of their game. So when your team is out of it, you just want to see good games. You just want to see good finishes. You just want to see entertaining football. And last night sucked. Last night was terrible. You're like, all right, it's the only game. Actually, obviously, they're all, you know, it's the only game on the day, I should say. And you're sitting down watching it, and you're like, it was never close. There was never a thought that the Cardinals were going to win. Cardinals were going to come back. Cardinals were going to make it competitive.
21-0, it was over.
You're like,
and you knew that they had no answer. Defensively, they had nothing for the Rams. And Cooper Kupp continues to put up numbers.
Awesome.
He's gone over 2,000 yards. He surpassed both Jerry Rice and Larry Fitzgerald on that list to get the 2,000. Because I'm going to dare say that 20 years from now, if God willing, we're still together and doing this show.
Yes, I plan
we're
on
not,
it.
Then we're not going to be sitting there going, boy, Cooper Kupp's one of the greatest of all time. It's the, who is this guy with the funny name that mixes in with these legends? But the guy had a season of seasons this year.
Really has. And he was good the last couple of years, but he was the best this year. It was crazy to watch. And the Rams were on TV a bunch. I feel like I watched a lot of Cooper Kupp. And he's incredible. He's open all the time. And he's explosive, too. Like, the run after catch is crazy. And he's not just he's the white slot guy. He's going deep all the time, too, and getting behind coverages and scoring all the touchdowns. He led the league in touchdowns. So, again, it's not just the shifty guy picking up first downs. He was in the end zone more than anybody. I was surprised that since, was it 1980 or since the merger or whatever, there's only been four wide receivers to get the receiver triple crown, mm-hmm. most catches, yards, and touchdowns.
Right.
Jerry Rice, Sterling Sharp, Steve Smith, and Cooper Kupp.
Man.
I would have guessed somebody else along the way. But
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, somebody. Like, I guess Randy Moss probably never had the catches. Maybe T.O. never had the catches. Those guys probably had the yards and the touchdowns. They had a lot of catches, but they didn't have the Marvin Harrison, Wes Welker catches, right? But I would have thought somebody else along the way would have gotten that. So it just shows you how impressive Cooper Kupp's season is. And because the league is so deep now at receiver, there are so many good ones. And yet he led the league in all of them. And they made the point, too, on the broadcast, he didn't just lead the league in them. He had like 22 more catches. He had like 200 more yards.
He separated
and two more
from
touchdowns.
Everybody, yeah.
It was incredible. And also, how about Odell Beckham Jr.? still being a player, still a weapon.
OBJ, the throw was great.
Yeah.
The touchdown catch where he got the feed in was even better.
That was
he has been fantastic for them.
Because you wondered if he had anything left in the tank, right? Because we haven't seen him great. And even in Cleveland, his time in Cleveland was kind of similar to Randy Moss with the Raiders. So you weren't really like, how's he going to do? I still wanted him. We talked about it at the time. I wanted the Patriots to trade for him. The Rams get him. Robert Woods goes down like the next day.
Boom.
And so they've needed him. And he was great. His first postseason touchdown. They can use him in a variety of ways.
Great throw on the gadget play,
great
too.
Throw.
A little too much air, but that's Quimlin. Right.
But still, big completion, 40-plus yard completion. So, yeah, when they're clicking, that's a scary team.
By the way, that completion was to Cam Akers, who we've now gotten NFL seasons that are so long that you can come back from knee and Achilles injuries within the same year. Yep. I remember in the year that the Pittsburgh Steelers went to the Super Bowl in 96, I guess it was, Rod Woodson got hurt at the beginning of the year, made it back for the Super Bowl in like 6 months, and they were doing stories on him like he's a modern medical marvel.
Wow.
As to that guy getting back in that short a season. Now we almost kind of take it for granted. Just like we take for granted, Keith, the entertainment on the Manning cast. I don't know if you caught this last night, but
I don't watch the Manning cast.
Oh, it was pretty good last night because you missed what would have been a touchdown breakdown here.
Actually, before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. I can't hear never mind. Aiden's doing something else, Larry.
Eli with the great pivot, but
never mind.
He was just like, never mind.
He's doing something else. I can't hear you. I can't hear anything, as it turns out.
They had The Rock on there. It could have been better.
Yep.
The Rock did not bring it last
night.
No. The Rock was the one who let him down.
It was a good cast list, but it really, from the clips I heard, nothing really all that exciting.
It didn't work out, and there is more from the Manning cast that we will get to a little bit later on. By the way, Mike Mayock got fired yesterday as the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders. The trickle-down effect will hit the Patriots. We will tell you about that coming up. We will talk about what went down Saturday with Peter King of NBC Sports at 10:45. Right now, here's Shime. He's ready to trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
We're going to evaluate every position every year, and if we can get better, we will. And if we can't, we won't. And so I tell the local media that every day when they ask me about this, and I mean that. Dirk's playing at a high level, so what does common sense tell you? Common sense tells you there aren't very many human beings on this planet that can play at a higher level than him. If we can find one, awesome. But trust me, Dirk's our guy.
That is a guy who might be right back on NFL Network pretty soon. That would be the now former general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders, Mike Mayock. 1023, Gresh and Keefe here with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. Anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app, you could text us at 37937. And with Mike Mayock now officially getting bounced in Las Vegas, the Raiders have requested to interview not only Gerard Mayo for the head coaching job, Keith, but Patriots front office man. I'll just leave it at that because the title really doesn't matter. But the highly thought of Dave Ziegler. So there could be a little bit of that whole GM coach combo thing going on out in Vegas. What'd you make of Mayock being fired, though? Because, I mean,
well, he was a failure there. I really feel like he was a failure. I know they got to the playoffs this year.
That's a thing. Like, they built it and then went to the playoffs, and it's like, it's not good enough.
But, I mean, again, I think just making the playoffs now is a little bit different. You have the extra team. You get bounced in the first round, and you're also like, what's the future? Now, he had a lot of things working against him, right? Like the John Gruden thing, how he couldn't have predicted that.
Gruden hired him.
Right, the Henry Ruggs pick wasn't a great pick, but again, you don't know that that's going to happen, and now he's gone.
No.
But he's had a number of them. I mean, they had two first-rounders in 2020. Neither are on the team anymore. They picked Cleveland Farrell at number 4 overall in 2019. They took Alex Leatherwood in the first round this year, and everybody's like, why the hell are you taking him? He had some decent other picks. Like, he picked Hunter Renfro in the 5th round and Max Crosby in the 4th round. Like, those are two really good picks. But all the high picks kind of screwed up, and, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's probably easier just to start fresh there, start all over again. The most memorable thing to me is the Antonio Brown situation with Mike Mayock and their time on Hard Knocks. I don't know if they were turning things around quickly enough, maybe in Vegas.
Yeah, that's a tough situation because has Mayock nailed every pick? No. But again, they went from being in Oakland to where they were nomads to then moving to Vegas and then become a playoff team. It's like, you know, if you're Mayock, you look at it and say, all right, I didn't know all the picks, but God dang, you know, I was a part of whatever. Now, really, to me, what this is an indicator of, Keith, is that the Raiders are about to really gut what they have and turn the page. Because it felt like that when Mayock and Gruden got to the Raiders, that it was about, okay, we have Derek Carr. We know we have this, 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 and this. Can we at least get to the playoffs or be consistently a playoff team? And as soon as they get there, Gruden is gone.
Yeah.
Interim head coach. Tragedy outside of the football team. And then you look at this guy and it's like, yep, thanks for coming. See you later.
No, it's true.
But to me, this is an indicator that they're about to blow it up. At least it feels like it.
It could be. I mean, I guess the argument for Mayock would be they went from a 7-win team to an 8-win team to a 10-win team. So, I mean, I guess you have that and, you know, you missed the playoffs the first years, but you make it that third time. But I guess they said, you know, there's more misses at the top of the draft. And again, they got to make a decision on Derek Carr. Like, that's really where you're at. He's been there 8 years. He's good, not great. And it's sort of like, all right, is he the answer? Do you need to get even younger there and sort of build a future? They're in a weird spot because I think also when you're them, you got to say you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. And even though the Raiders got further than the Chargers this year, if you're just looking at the future of both franchises, I think most people would rather be the Chargers. So it's an interesting spot. And I think for a GM, you look at some of the other GM openings, this one isn't nearly as bad. Like this one, you're like, all right, there's still some talent here. You got Renfro, you got Crosby, you got Waller, like you got Jacobs isn't bad. You got some players there. And then Carr, it's not like you're dealing with a bum quarterback. So you might be able to get something for him. Or worst case scenario, and I don't even know if it's worst case, but you could play him next year and try to still be competitive.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that that's not a, like from a GM job opening, there's some toys to play with, so to speak. But to me, that also means that GM has to walk in and say, if we're going to tear it down, it's all on me. And then they got to tear it down to build it back up. I wonder if someone looks, if you're a general manager and you look at the Giants and you say, well, how many of these guys are worth keeping? Maybe a handful, and I got the 5th and the 7th pick. Whereas if you're the GM, like if, say, Dave Ziegler gets this job, his first decision has got to be, what am I going to do with Derek Carr? And that's where the Dave Ziegler, Gerard Mayo piece of this comes in. Because if there is some sort of package deal, right, where it's Ziegler and Mayo, if you're Mayo, do you want to be involved in a decision that big and that heavy that early into your NFL career where, hey, I got a veteran quarterback. Oh, at least I got something. Right. Oh, the GM wants to punt on the guy. And
now
I'm a new. And now you're in the Robert Saleh situation. And that's like from the Mayo end. And by the way, Gerard Mayo throwing bouquets at other coaches on the Patriots staff.
How about that?
Helping him to get ready for this moment.
Definitely a huge opportunity. Hopefully one day I get a chance to you know, coach a team. You know, Bill's been, you know, he's been great with that stuff. He's been an open book for me, you know, whether you're talking about X's and O's or, you know, structure a team or anything like that. He's been great. Matty P's been a great resource. Like, all these guys have been great resources for me. And But really, you know, like I said, the focus is about this season. But at the same time, development has always been a huge factor for me as far as coaching is concerned. And there are a bunch of guys around here, including Josh McDaniels and even a guy like Jed Fish, who was here, you know, been at different teams. Those guys have been great. Great mentors and great resources for me.
Well, you know, Mr. Davis, I had a long talk with Matt Patricia about really how to do things.
How to not do things. You could use that. And I would also make it very clear that if I'm Gerard Mayo, I had nothing to do with the game plan on Saturday night. I wasn't allowed to chime in. That was all Steve Belichick and Bill Belichick. I couldn't believe what they were doing because I would have stopped Josh Allen at least once. So don't hold that against me. But yeah, it's interesting, the direction that the Raiders may end up going in, because clearly, you know, 9-10 wins isn't enough, right? They have higher expectations than that, where some other teams might say, that's not bad. You know, if you're the Browns or you know, the Chargers or whatever, yeah, it's not a bad spot to be in. But the Raiders want something else. And also, Mayock never even picked a head coach, right? Because wasn't Gruden there the year before Mayock got there? I don't think Mayock, and that was obviously a Davis hire anyway, but I think Gruden got there before Mayock.
And had a year of Reggie McKenzie, maybe, and
as the
then
GM,
made the move
been
to Mayock.
I
there
so.
there might have been a little bit of that there. Or McKenzie retired.
Or one of those things. But I think Mayock's first year was 19 and Gruden's first year was 18. So I think he didn't even get to pick his own head coach at any point. But yeah, he'll probably be back on the draft combine with Rich Eisen, would be my guess. You'll see him.
You would think so. Will we yeah. get the Mayock 40?
Just Eisen in a suit.
Just Eisen?
That again.
So the Broncos are going to interview Gerard Mayo tomorrow. The Raiders just got their request in, not only for Ziegler and Mayo, and apparently Mayo is also going to get an interview in Houston. So right now there are three teams that are at least going to kick the tires or interview Gerard Mayo.
I feel like he's getting a job.
Well, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Denver, Houston, Oakland.
Vegas.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Vegas.
Let's get it right.
God, I can't. I'm so old school on that.
Yeah.
But Raiders, Texans, Broncos. I know he'll take one, but if he had his choice, would you really want any of those jobs?
Yeah, I think if you're Gerard Mayo, you're not even the defensive coordinator, and you're not going to be elevated to that because the coach's kid is blocking you from that. So he can afford to take a job, and even if he's not good for a couple of years, let's say 2-3 years go by and the team stinks. Like, worst case scenario, the team stinks, you're not doing anything. You become a defensive coordinator somewhere else for a couple of years, and then you'll get another opportunity as a head coach. Unless you're Matt Patricia, and you are an abject failure, but you got to bet on yourself.
Well, there's what
he's
I was going to
say.
But that's what I was going to say is that if you go to the wrong job at the right time, do you become Matt Patricia to where
no.
every time your name gets brought up, people are like holding their nose?
No, Matt Patricia is the example of doing it the worst way possible because he took a team that was on the cusp of making the wild card. I think they made it once under Caldwell. They were like a 9-win team when he took over. And then he goes out there and was just a jackass from start to finish, was saying how, I had to overcome so much. This was a tough play. I had to build it around. No. You made it worse. And you're supposed to be a defensive guy. You made the defense worse when you got there and the team fell apart. And then you left them in such shambles. So unless you're that, because then you look at a guy like, you know, Brian Flores, 3 years in Miami, the owner and GM don't like him. He's gone, but he's a top candidate already. And he was one of those guys that, he wasn't even technically the coordinator here.
Yeah.
Even though he led the defense in 18, he was somebody that didn't have a ton of experience at a high level, right? He was with the organization for a while, but he didn't have a D coordinator title at any point. So if I'm Mayo, I would probably lean into more the Broncos-Raiders job than I would the Texans, just because I think the Texans still have the, all right, what the hell are we doing here with Deshaun Watson? Yeah, you have the connection with Nick Caserio, but their owner seems like a real loser. And the Jack Easterby element, I'd want to stay away from that. I'd stay out of Houston. I'd take either one of the other two jobs.
It's interesting because you mentioned Matty P, and if his name came up for a head coaching job, people would go nuts. And 10 years ago, when Josh McDaniels got let go, sorry, now 11 pushing 12, mm-hmm. when Josh McDaniels got let go as the head coach of the Denver Broncos, the automatic thought was, get another opportunity, it'll be fine. A decade later, now there's the is this guy really good? He have to wait it out?
He said no 7 years after that.
He did.
Yeah.
And there was that.
But he got a job with the Rams and sucked there. And
right,
then he came
right.
back here. And then he got a job with the Colts and took it and then bailed. So I think that's sort of a separate
now.
Issue.
And here's the other thing too, from the Mayo end. And I've been thinking about this. We know Bill's going to walk away at some point. Within, like, is he going to coach till he's 80? He's probably not here another decade, right?
I didn't think Brady would still be playing.
Well,
so
that
maybe.
Is true.
Yeah.
But you know, let's say Mayo flies the coop. And in a couple of years, the Patriots either get back to glory or Belichick says, I'm 75, I'm done, I'm out of here. Where do you go to then? Meaning most of the guys who leave or fly the coop ultimately come back home. And would there be a comeback home for a Gerard Mayo? And that's why I wonder.
It depends.
Does he need a little more? Is it let me ride it out with Bill and then maybe be a little more selective in a job? Because, I mean, can you imagine Gerard Mayo walking in and having to take over the Houston Texans right now?
That's why I wouldn't want the Texans job. I'd want the Raiders job. They just made the playoffs. Or the Broncos job. And I know we make fun of John all the time about saying how talented they are. They're not the most talented team, but that is a great example of if they can somehow find a quarterback, they'll be right in the playoff
mix.
Would
you take the Raiders job if they said Derek Carr is still our quarterback?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he stinks. I mean, he wasn't good in the playoff
game. No, I don't
either.
He's in the Tannehill spot. It feels like where Tannehill was in Miami, that's where Derek Carr is in Vegas.
But I think there's a couple of ways to look at it, too. If you're saying, you know, you could always come back to the Patriots, look at a couple of the other, like Mike Vrabel has gone to Tennessee and has been great at Tennessee. Mm-hmm, and even if the Patriots want him, he might say, I built something great here. I'm
going
to stay.
He did enough that he's on his own now.
Flores, meanwhile, it didn't work out with that team for whatever reason. And now he's back in the mix and go somewhere. The real issue where Patricia and McDaniels like ran into problems were their personality and their roster movements. Mm-hmm. If Gerard Mayo goes to a place with a GM, the GM drafts some horrible guy in the first round, that doesn't get pinned on Mayo. And if anything, you're like, all right, you drafted a bad guy, and now Mayo has to make the most of it. And so I think that helps separate
Fair
a lot
point.
Of the criticism. It really does. So if I'm going to the Broncos or the Raiders, I'm like, okay, great. Give me the best roster possible, and I'll coach these guys up. Don't say, oh, I'm coming in here, and I'm picking the quarterback, and I'm picking this, and then I'm going to bring in 10 former Patriots. Like, don't do that.
Well, it's really funny because it's so funny you said that, because the thought that was going through my mind to ask you next was, which former Patriots go with Mayo or McDaniels if he ends up? And I don't think McDaniels got any interviews scheduled. It seems like he's kind of out of this cycle. It's really Mayo, and then I think Josh might have got one request.
I was going to say McDaniels could, and just from talking to Curran and Giardi about it, it seems like McDaniels could be a guy who doesn't need the 5 interviews like Mayo does. A team's only going to interview McDaniels if they think he's going to take it. And McDaniels is only going to take an interview if he 100% wants that job. So it might only be you find out he's interviewing with one, like the Vikings, and then he takes the Vikings job. Like, I think it would be something like that. Or he just ends up coming back another year.
And I know we always have one texter out of the 806. I'm going to make this a-hole's day on the text so that he can get his text read so he can feel good.
It's a nice experience.
That he is bitching about the speculation talk on coaches for a few weeks. But here's why it's a big deal. Because I even heard them talking about it on the Greg Hillless morning show today.
Yeah, where's Greg?
Apparently he's still, I get trapped in the Bahamas, well, I guess.
Sure. Happens to all of us.
But I heard them talking about early this morning the kind of the depth on the coaching staff. And when you look at Bill Belichick early in the run, there were guys like Romeo and Charlie and people like that here. And then you're maybe ready for the next sort of layer of coaches to leave. But are they ready? Is there an OC on the staff the way there was when Charlie left and then when Bill O'Brien left? Or if there are some departures on the staff, and let's say Mayo gets a head coaching job.
Right.
And let's say he says to Bill Belichick, I want to hire your kid, but I'm going to make him the D coordinator. You haven't given him the title.
Yeah.
I'm going to elevate him and make him the D coordinator.
I think Bill would just make Steve the D coordinator here.
I don't know about that. I wonder if he'd let fly the coop, because my overall point on this is who's going to be out there that's left over. 860 guy wants to complain about the coaching staff, and then we're in the middle of next year, and then it's, well, what kind of depth do you have on the coaching staff? I wonder Belichick is looking at maybe some of these guys who got fired, like Joe Judge, to bring him back as a special teams coordinator to be able to strengthen the staff, which people have now started to nitpick a little bit.
I think this is just I have no knowledge of this. I don't think Gerard Mayo would want Steve Belichick. That'd be my guess. Gerard Mayo would go and make his own staff, would not include Steve. Steve probably gets the promotion. I bet Bill would like to bring Joe Judge in because their special teams sucked so bad this year.
Yeah, Cam Acord, sorry,
then,
man.
And then McDaniels would be the one loss because Mayo, we unfortunately don't even really know what he does.
That's
because
fair.
There's a guy kind of blocking him. Plus, we have Bill, who we assume is the mastermind of the defense anyway. Offensively, it doesn't seem like there's the obvious next man up, so that might even be an outside the organization type hire.
And if you end up replacing Mayo with somebody with some real credible chops, do you still not give Steve Belichick the quote-unquote coordinator's role? You bring in someone who's got the ability to mentor him a little differently.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Matty P.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out just because Bill loves the guy so much. Like, he is here. So do you want him to be Ernie Adams or do you want him to be the D coordinator? But you would need both Mayo and Steve to leave for that scenario to happen.
Would you be okay with Matty P as the D coordinator again here in New England? No?
Yeah,
so you're out on Patricia completely in general, total, all over.
Of course I am.
Because I didn't think he was a bad DC. Look, I'd rather have Brian Flores, but I think Flores is getting a head coaching job.
He had so much talent in 14 and 16 that I don't think he could have screwed that up. And then in 17, you saw him just get his pants pulled down by Nick Foles, so I am out on Patricia.
Yeah, because I wonder if ultimately the coaching carousel ends up taking some guys away, and then how does Bill go about strengthening the staff? Because it is legitimate. By the way, what also is legitimate is the podcast of Gresh and Keefe. If you missed anything on today's show or want to hear something crazy that we said, you can go back on WEEI.com or anytime anywhere on the Odyssey app. Get the Gresh and Keefe podcast today. And again, on demand, anytime you want on the Odyssey app. Our friend Peter King of NBC Sports joins us next.
More Gresh and Keefe right now on WEEI.
We roll along here on this Tuesday. Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, he is the NFL insider for NBC Sports. I know he'll be a part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting meetings that go on almost on a nearly constant basis this month. That might be overstating it a little bit. It is our friend Peter King who joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. And our friend Peter King is brought to us by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Peter, we know you're busy, but we've been waiting for your analysis. What in the world do you make of what went down on Saturday in Buffalo?
I think what you saw is peak Josh Allen in all ways. When I saw him in training camp this summer, one of the things that he was focused on doing is kind of calming down during a game. You know, I think a lot of players call it playing with a quiet mind. You know, he talked to me then about instead of playing stuff like Metallica or, you know, whatever, hard rock, whatever, before the game, he would be playing stuff to kind of calm him down a little bit because he doesn't need to get fired up before a game. He's naturally fired up. When I got to the press box in Buffalo at about, I don't know, maybe 5:15 on Saturday night, I was at the game. You know, the first person out there warming up, just throwing the ball with a hooded sweatshirt, was Josh Allen, you know, 3 hours before the game. So he's ready to go and everything. He wanted to be calmer. I think this game showed Josh Allen at the peak performance level that he had, and part of that is due to the fact that he can play calm. On his first touchdown of the game, where it looked like he was throwing the ball away to Dawson Knox in the back of the end zone, I timed it. 9.18 seconds from snap to releasing the ball. And as you watch that replay, never a jittery, never happy feet, never anything. Just like he's out on the playground playing football. And that's what I saw. And from the Patriots' standpoint, look, they do not have the quarterback right now or the skill players and that Buffalo has, at least right now. And they don't have what surprised me and what surprised everybody is that they don't have the defensive wherewithal to stop a great offense, at least right now. that has to be a concern for Bill Belichick as he approaches the offseason.
Peter, do you think that game showed more that the Buffalo Bills are close to a Super Bowl, or did it show that the Patriots are really far away?
I mean, it showed both. You know, the Patriots, I'd say in mid-season this year, I thought the Patriots were a prime Super Bowl contender. I would have picked them probably around November 15th to come out of the AFC. But, you know, although I think Mac Jones had some really, really good moments in this game. And the interception by Micah Hyde on the first possession changed the entire game because I thought it was a great throw. It was just sometimes you have to say to your defense, that's a great, great play. But had that touchdown happened and it had been 7-7, who knows what could have happened? Probably not much, but I thought that was a key part of the game. The bigger problem that I have looking at the Patriots now is that they basically went and spent a lot of money in buying Matthew Judon in the offseason, and this is the kind of game that he should have been a star in. He should have shined in, and he didn't. I don't remember a single play he made in the game, and I don't remember, quite frankly, many plays he made down the stretch after starting out so well. That is the kind of thing that I think really hurt the Patriots down the stretch.
Yeah, I think he had one quarterback hit in the final five games, including the playoffs. So you're right, Peter.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
There's a reason. You know, George Young, the old Giants general manager, the late George Young, used to say there's a reason they hit free agency. And look, the Ravens are like that. The Ravens don't pay for anybody other than really a quarterback. They'll let everybody else go, and they'll take the compensatory pick. And now they'll get a fourth-round pick in this draft, and in the middle rounds is where the Ravens have gotten great. They'll let somebody else pay for it. So we'll see how that all turns out. But toward the end of this season, they got nothing out of Matthew Judon.
They're also in desperate need of a playmaker on offense. And, you know, you look around all the other teams that are still playing. They go one, two receivers, a tight end, a back, whatever it is. The Patriots don't have that. What is the way you see them acquiring that piece in the offseason, Peter? They've swung and missed so many times in the draft at receiver. Free agency, they just spent a lot of money last year. Is trade the best possibility for them, or what do you think?
I think the draft is such a hit-or-miss operation at wide receiver. You saw 2 years ago, you saw the Philadelphia Eagles take Jalen Reagor a couple of picks ahead of Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson right now, I was in anguish leaving off my all-pro team and putting three other receivers on. He's an all-pro receiver. But so many of the guys who get picked high in drafts do not turn out to be that way. And so I think you have to look at the commonalities of some of these really great players. Did they play at a very high level of college football? And did they shine there? And do they have great hands? Are they difference makers? And I don't just point to Ja'Marr Chase and to Justin Jefferson. I point to other guys, you know, who you have to look for those traits in. Terry McLaurin, Cooper Kupp, down the line drafted guys. Kenny Golladay, even though he slumped this year. But I think, you know, the Patriots need one of those. They counted this year on totally refurbishing the tight end position. I don't think they got out of Jonnu Smith what they wanted to get out of him. But I agree with you. I think that they have to exhaust all options now at looking for a great wide receiver.
Peter, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for the intel. Have a great week.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Coming up, what did Adrian Phillips say? We'll get to that next with Gresham Keefe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.